What's up, you guys? I'm Haley.
And I'm Andrea.
And this is Inhuman, a true crime podcast. Before we get into today's episode, I want to give a quick shout out to one of our listeners, Sarah, who I met the other day at Lululemon. It was such a surreal moment for me when she was like, I recognize you. And I literally, my response was from, like, I'm sitting there thinking, like, have I been into this Lululemon so many times that somebody recognizes me?
She recognizes you.
I could not comprehend. And then I was like, oh, I guess that makes sense. But Sarah was the absolute sweetest and it just made my day. So thank you for saying hi, Sarah.
And she like texted me right away and was like, you're not going to believe this. And I was like, that is the cutest thing. So hey, Sarah. Like, hey, girl, hey, thanks for listening.
Yeah, thanks for listening. Thanks for saying hi. And if you guys ever do see us out, please say hi.
Yeah.
Because it
always
feels surreal that people, like, want to say hi to us. So
yeah,
it's awesome.
Yeah.
But with that, we are going to be talking about a really heartbreaking case today. And it's one that went cold for 3 years. But just last month, her killers were finally sentenced.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, so this was actually also a suggested case by an anonymous listener. And I think it was suggested like a long time ago because it was really up high in our suggestion list.
Okay.
So thank you to whoever suggested it. But today we are talking about the murder of Egypt Covington.
Okay.
Egypt Jacqueline Elizabeth Covington was born on July 19, 1989 to Chuck and Tina Covington. She was born in Detroit, Michigan, and she grew up in Belleville, about 30 miles southwest of Detroit. Her mother said that as a child, she was hilarious and had a mind of her own. So her mom said if she was told no, she would do whatever she wanted anyway.
I love it. Free spirit.
Yeah, truly. As an adult, Egypt was living in Van Buren, Michigan, and working as a bartender at Fraser's Pub, or Fraser, depends how you say it, but that was in Ann Arbor. And she had a passion for craft beer, like that was something she really enjoyed, and like enjoyed not just drinking, but like everything about it. And she had bigger aspirations, and she wanted to work, you know, do something more than just bartend. And she actually began working with a distributor as a beer sales rep. So she was loving her work as an account manager doing this. And she also had a passion for music. She sang and she played guitar and she was extremely talented. She was known in the area for her musical performances and it just seems like
that's
she
amazing.
Was a really great artist.
And that's two cool, like two things that kind of coincide with each other because I feel like a lot of craft bars or craft beer bars are like, what's the
breweries.
Word? Breweries, yes. I was like, I'm not thinking what the word is. They have like live performers. So that's cool that she was like in her little realm of
doing it all. Yeah. Egypt's family and friends describe her as having a captivating personality. And they said that everyone she met loved her. And she was freaking gorgeous. I will share pictures of her on our Instagram and Facebook. She was so beautiful.
I'm looking her up. Oh, wow. She is very pretty.
Right? On the evening of June 23rd, 2017, just weeks before Egypt's 28th birthday, she was not answering the phone. And she hadn't posted on social media all day. None of her friends or family had heard from her, hadn't received texts from her, things like that. And that just was not like her. So by that evening, still not having heard from her, her boyfriend Curtis got off work and drove straight to her house to check on her. And when he went inside, he found a horrific scene.
No.
Inside, Egypt was laying there, having been shot to death.
Oh my God.
Her hands were bound with holiday string lights, and she had been shot in the head at close range.
Oh my, holiday lights?
Yeah, like, you know, like holiday
string. Oh my God, and this
was the time. This was July.
That's what I'm like, what?
But I think they... She, I mean, I don't know for sure. This is just me speculating, but maybe she just had them up in her house as like decor. Because, you know, there's like white versions of the of holiday lights, but maybe that's just how they were described as like holiday holiday lights. But yeah. Sometimes when I don't feel like reading or watching TV, I just want to sit back and play a fun game on my phone. And I recently started playing June's Journey, and when I tell you I'm loving it, that is an understatement. I'm already on the fourth chapter, and I've only been playing for a few days. June's Journey is a hidden object mystery game, and I love it because it brings out my inner detective. You play as June Parker in the 1920s trying to solve her sister's murder. It's so much fun to travel the world of the 20s looking for clues that are indicating that June's family has some dark secrets. You also get to create and decorate your own estate island, which I loved because it made me feel really fancy and important. In my last chapter, I discovered a big family secret and there was an unexpected death, but I won't ruin it for you. You can discover your inner detective and play yourself by downloading June's Journey for free today on iOS and Android. You can find the link to download June's Journey for free in the show notes of this episode. At first, the Van Buren Township police believed that Egypt had been killed by someone she knew. So they said that her murder did not appear random. So they believe someone she knew had killed her. And it's not exactly clear why they came to this conclusion. Like, it's not really reported anywhere if there were signs of a break-in or if the murder weapon was found or anything like that. But whatever it was, the Van Buren Township Police said this wasn't random. Hmm. Unfortunately, Egypt's case quickly went cold. There wasn't a lot of evidence, and there weren't really any leads. The main thing that they found was that there was a couch cushion with a bullet hole in it, so police believed that that was used to muffle the sound of the gunshot.
Yep.
They did find DNA not belonging to Egypt on the Christmas lights, but that wouldn't be helpful until later in the investigation, so that really didn't come in handy until they already had a suspect that they could match it to.
Okay.
Now, while the case went cold, Egypt's family worked hard to keep attention on her case. So they organized marches in her honor. They raised money for billboards to be posted asking for tips. There was a $25,000 reward raised for any information leading to an arrest of Egypt's killer. They also created a Facebook group called Justice for Egypt, the truth behind the investigation. And through that group and social media, they were collecting tips, sharing Egypt's story. And they began calling on the Michigan State Police to take over the investigation. So for the first like 2.5-3 years, it was the Van Buren Township Police Department. And they were like, we're not going anywhere. This case is cold. We want the Michigan State Police, the larger police department with more resources, to come and take over the investigation.
Which is amazing, because I feel like in so many cases, it's... for lack of very much lack of better terminology, it becomes like a pissing contest, and they don't want to hand it over to a department that may be more like better suited, better qualified to investigate a murder, a large crime, because they want to be the ones to quote unquote to crack it open, solve it. So I commend them, you know, greatly for doing that, because that's not something we see very often, I feel like.
Yeah. And so thanks to her family really pushing for it, the Michigan State Police did take over the investigation. There was one tip that Egypt's family got on social media where they basically learned that there was evidence that drugs played a role in her murder. And for a while, this lead wasn't being investigated by the Van Buren police. But when the Michigan State Police took over the investigation, they looked into this tip.
Okay.
And Egypt's family's hard work paid off. In November 2020, over 3 years after her murder, it was announced that two people had been arrested in connection with her death. And then a third arrest came in December of that year.
Wow. Three people?
Yeah. Timothy Eugene Moore, Shane Lamar Evans, and Shandon Ray Groom were arrested and charged with homicide and first-degree home invasion. So Timothy Moore and Shandon Groom are cousins from Toledo. I don't know if it's Toledo or Toledo. I think it's Toledo, Ohio.
It's Toledo, yeah.
Toledo, okay.
Yeah.
Toledo, Ohio. And they were friends with Shane Evans. And Shane lived in Michigan, just about 3 miles away from Egypt's home. And Shane worked for a lawn care company that had previously serviced the lawn at Egypt's duplex. So there's the connection.
Are you fucking kidding me? So they just saw her and just was like...
Nope. Just you wait till you're...
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And I'm looking at these... disgusting excuse for humans pictures, and they just I don't even know what to say.
You can look at them yourself on our Instagram, because I will share their pictures as well. Now, the men didn't admit to what they'd done right away, but as police interviewed them, the story became clear. Egypt's murder was the result of a robbery gone wrong, but even worse, they had the wrong address.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. So Shane Evans told police that he had brought Moore and Groom to the duplex that Egypt lived in because he knew that her neighbor was a medical marijuana caregiver who was out of town on June 22nd, 2017. And Evans knew that the medical marijuana in his house would be easy to steal. He's out of town. All they have to do is break in and take it. So it wasn't even Egypt's home that they meant to target.
That is obviously just so unfortunate. But also, like, they are idiots, because chances are if someone has that role, they're going to have security. They're going to have things in place to where someone can't just break in and steal their medical marijuana. So
yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point.
It's just idiotic.
Extremely. And if you don't know what a duplex is, it's basically like a house that's split in half, kind of.
Yeah.
And so there's like two doors, and they're usually like next to each other or really close to each other.
Yeah. So they're like Evans, apartments that
right.
are side by side. Yeah.
Right. So Evans said that he drove Moore and Groom to the duplex, and he pointed out which door led to the home of where the drugs were. And he said he then drove away, expecting the two men to steal the weed and then leave. He said in a police interview, quote, "I knew he was out of town. I knew he was out of his house. I said, go to the right. I knew 100% no one was in that house. They went to the wrong door."
And I find it hard to believe he just left.
I think he did, because I don't think he wanted to get caught, like if they were to get caught, because maybe he was smart enough to think there might be security and they might get caught.
Yeah.
I think he was like, dropped him off, said, that's the door, I'm leaving.
Okay.
But Groom and Moore accidentally entered Egypt's door. It was a Friday night. She was just at home watching a movie when the men broke in. We don't know exactly what happened once they entered the home, but somehow Egypt ended up bound with string holiday lights and shot in the head.
So senseless. They could have just left.
Yeah. Just turn around and walk away.
Yeah. I mean, they knew that no one should have been home. So once they realized someone was home,
yeah, why didn't they leave? And that's why, and we'll talk about this a little bit more later, but that's why it's like, okay, maybe they were just intending to break in and steal something, but you don't just murder somebody just because they're there when you break in. Like,
right. And they brought a gun to a quote-unquote easy robbery. So yeah, that seems suspicious too.
Yeah. It's not clear exactly what led to the arrest of Evans, Moore, and Groom, but after their arrest, cell phone records and GPS location placed them at the crime scene that night. And then they had also stolen Egypt's cell phone, and her phone pinged to the same location as their phones after the murder, before they disposed of her phone. So that further connected them to the crime.
Why dispose of her phone?
In case they get caught and she and found with her phone, and then they can be connected. And then remember how I said there was DNA on the lights?
Yeah.
That matched Timothy Moore. Now, despite not actually confessing, Evans explaining how Moore and Groom went into the wrong door at the duplex is basically just as good as a confession.
Yeah.
It is reported that the Michigan State Police also had a fourth suspect, but that person had been shot and killed after the crime before the men were caught. And it's not clear if these men are the ones who killed that suspect. They've never been charged in connection to that suspect's death, and that suspect has never been named, but they do believe there was possibly a fourth person involved.
Okay.
Now, at first, the men were maintaining their innocence. Evans was saying, I just drove them there and drove away, and then Groom and Moore were not admitting what they had done. But in March 2021, a judge ruled that there was enough evidence to send all three men to trial. Shane Evans ended up pleading guilty to second-degree murder in May 2023. And this was part of a plea deal, so he agreed to testify against Groom and Moore at their trial, and then in return, he'd get a second-degree murder charge, which is way less.
That's so... I know they need to do it in some cases so they can really pin these people, but... I hate when they have leniency. It's like, this guy,
I know,
murderer.
I know. And honestly, I don't think they would have gotten him for first degree murder because, I mean, it is all based on his story, but there was no evidence that he was inside the house or anything. So I do have a feeling they would have ended up only getting him for second degree anyway.
So how did they connect him?
Because he was the one who lived nearby and worked for the company that worked on her lawn.
Gotcha.
So at Evan's sentencing, Egypt's family gave victim impact statements. Her mother, Tina, said, quote, a loss like this changes the DNA of a family like no one would ever expect. Talking about how, while Evans did not actually commit the murder, he led his friends to do so, Egypt's father said, quote, he struck the match, which led to the fire that extinguished her.
Yep.
Chuck also talked about how Evans did not come forward in the 3 years that the case was cold, saying, quote, year after year, he did nothing. He's shown that he could, cannot, and should not be part of society.
Yeah, because he could have done the right thing. I mean, at that point, he was not innocent because he was setting people up to go rob somebody.
Right, but
if he
would have come forward, he could have not been charged with anything or given probation or, you know, like something so much smaller.
Right.
Had he come forward.
A way better plea deal.
Yeah. Egypt's sister Jessica said, quote, although the boy at issue today was not the one inside her home and was not the one who pulled the trigger, he was the one who initiated the act that ended her life.
Yep.
At his sentencing, Evans briefly apologized, saying, quote, I'm truly sorry from the deepest part of my heart. 34-year-old Shane Lamar Evans was sentenced to 15 to 25 years, and he is currently in prison serving his sentence.
Wow, that's like nothing.
Yeah. Timothy Moore and Shannon Groom were both charged with first-degree murder, felony murder, first-degree home invasion, and 4 counts of felony firearm. And their trial was initially set to begin on July 24th, 2023. Just days before their trial was about to begin, both men changed their pleas to guilty. And they took a plea deal so that their charges of first-degree murder, first-degree home invasion, and felony firearm were dismissed. So instead, Moore and Groom pleaded guilty to second-degree murder.
Wow.
And this frustrates me so much more than Evans getting second-degree murder, because they did commit the murder. Mm-hmm. They
pulled the trigger.
Maybe it wasn't planned in the sense that, like, it was completely premeditated, but they made a conscious
decision
to kill her. Like you said, they could turn around and walked out.
Yeah. And she might, you know, obviously she probably would have called the police. Because, like, what the fuck? Why are you in my house?
Right. But,
like, there's still a chance they could have completely gotten away with nothing.
Called the police, they could have run away right after and
never been found.
Never got caught.
Yeah.
And then if they got caught, they would have been caught for attempted robbery, not
murder. Yeah.
So that's why I say, like, there was some intention behind it, because even though maybe they didn't go in there intending to kill somebody, they clearly, like, did this intentionally.
Yeah. And the manner of which they killed her by putting the cushion over her head to muffle it, that feels, I mean, it's not premeditated in the sense that they had planned it for weeks and weeks and weeks, but they were like, all right, we're going to kill this girl.
Right. It's not just like unintentional.
Boom, yeah.
Like, that's one thing where it's like you were startled or
caught off guard,
tried to attack or something, and you shot her. This is like intentionally you tied her up, used a couch cushion to muffle the gunshot. Like, it's way more intentional. So the fact that they were able to plead down to second degree makes me so mad.
Yeah.
Moore also pleaded guilty to one count of felony firearm, but all of the other charges were dropped. 30-year-old Shandon Groom was sentenced to 17 to 26 years in prison for the second degree murder of Egypt Covington. 37-year-old Timothy Moore was sentenced to 20 to 55 years for the second-degree murder and for the felony firearm charge. So it seems like he was the one who owned the gun and probably pulled the trigger. So he got a slightly harsher sentence, but still, that's not... They should be getting life in prison.
And were they... So they got felony gun charges. Is that what you said?
Yeah. So that was the initial charge. And then after the plea deal, Timothy was only charged with one charge of felony firearm.
And was that because they were already felons? Or?
Yeah, exactly. So that just, again, proves that it was more intentional.
Yeah.
At their sentencing, Chuck Covington said he wished the death penalty was an option, calling the men cowards for what they had done.
Yeah, they are cowards.
He said Groom and Moore were able to, quote, play the system with their plea deal. Mm-hmm. He said, why bring a gun unless you have some intent of using it? Yep. Which, so true. And then he said, they hogtied my daughter with Christmas lights. They used a pillow to muffle the sound of the gun. They shot my daughter in the back of the head. It was an execution.
That's awful.
Jessica Covington, quote, called the defendant subhuman monsters who will have a potential to breathe fresh air outside of a jail cell, outside of a prison, because of the plea deal.
Yep.
And it is so extremely frustrating that they didn't have to face the first degree murder charges, because that would have led to a possible sentence of life, whereas now not only do they have, because life doesn't actually mean life, but that's way harder to like get parole and get out than it is when you have like a set amount of years,
right? Which means they can qualify for early release due to good behavior, and they will get paroled eventually. And I mean, people still get paroled, like you said, on life sentences, but the chance
it's way less.
Slimmer. Yeah. So hopefully they just, you know, keep fucking up in prison and they stay in there as long as possible.
Yeah, hopefully.
I mean, they took a life.
Wayne Circuit County Judge Wanda Evans did the best she could with the plea deal. She encouraged Egypt's family to remember the lessons she taught them. Judge Evans said, quote, "Those lessons can be carried on by you all to all that you encounter, to all family members, in spite of this horrible, horrific, tragic situation." She said, "That's all I can say. I can give you a long speech, but from the bottom of my heart, I wish you peace."
Yeah, I mean, that's a really kind sentiment, but that does not bring back their daughter.
No.
Nothing. I mean, nothing can. Nothing anyone could say could, but I don't know.
And it's like, I know, and it's so sad because it feels like the judge was like, "I wish I could do more, but I can't." Obviously, she couldn't say that, but like,
yeah,
it kind of feels like she was like, because of this plea deal, I'm giving them the harshest sentence I can.
Which is just a reflection of how completely fucked up and completely flawed our justice system is, because a criminal should be tried at the fullest extent of the law, and their punishments should be more than just these frivolous little, what, 15 years?
Yeah.
He's 30 years old.
Mm-hmm. 34.
So he'll be 45. 50. He can still have a baby, yeah. Get married, start a career, live a whole ass life.
Yeah. And she doesn't get to live her life because you took it. Never
get any of those opportunities.
Yeah. So frustrating.
Yeah.
After Moore and Groom pleaded guilty, Egypt's family and friends, while they were disappointed, they were relieved. Egypt finally has justice, and they were glad that they didn't have to sit through an entire trial, seeing crime scene photos and hearing about what happened to Egypt.
So true, so true.
Her brother, Dwayne Turner, said, quote, "We already saw them face to face, so that checkmark's done. We don't need to sit through and look through. We don't need to sit and look through all the photos and all the evidence, things like that." Egypt's family and friends remember her as always being a light in whatever room she was in. She was always making others happy, and her brother said that she made it easy for everyone to love her and that she touched so many.
I mean, you can tell just by the pictures that she was a bright light. Like, that is very apparent even in just one little picture that I saw.
Yeah, no, it really is. Like, her smile literally looks like it lights up the room.
Yeah.
In Egypt's honor, Arbor Brewing Company released a special edition beer called A Girl Named Egypt. Aww. It's really, really beautiful packaging, and it's a double white IPA, which honestly sounds so good, and it's just beautiful. And a portion of the sales from that beer were donated to a foundation in Egypt's name to, quote, support charities related to music, animal welfare, and victims of domestic abuse, which were several things that she was passionate about.
Wow.
The Egypt Covington Music Celebration Scholarship is awarded every year to a student at Belleville High School to help with college tuition or any costs incurred during a musical career during high school.
That's amazing.
Egypt had an adorable little puppy named Ruby, and she loved any animal that she came across. So that's why they wanted to donate to animal welfare.
Yeah.
And Ruby was like the cutest little thing, and she was Egypt's baby. Everybody said that Ruby was always with her. She was always bringing Ruby everywhere. And Ruby's like, I think a little chihuahua, but a smaller dog. So she carried her around in like little bags, or sometimes even with a little harness that had a handle. And I'll share a picture of that because it's the cutest thing. She's just like holding this little dog with the handle. So it was so sweet. And so they're donating to various animal rescues and different animal organizations to help animals in need in her honor.
Yeah.
Egypt was also a domestic abuse survivor, and there's not any details about that, but it said that she was a huge advocate for women and wanted to help anyone she could. So that's why they donate to victims of domestic abuse.
Wow. She just sounds like such an amazing person, like inside and out, truly.
Truly.
Like her father said, a light burnt out way too soon.
Yeah. Yeah. Egypt was known in the Ann Arbor / Detroit area for her musical performances and for her bubbly, loving personality. According to a girl named Egypt.org, quote, Egypt was known for her overall passion for life, genuine positive attitude, and the sincere friendship she offered. Her life was so senselessly taken. I mean, it was truly the most ridiculous crime. There was no reasoning behind it, no sense behind it. They shouldn't have even gone in to her house.
I know. How did they get that wrong? Like, go to the left.
Yeah, it's not that hard, but they are terrible people. I mean, at least she got some form of justice and they're in prison, but
yeah.
It's so frustrating that they will get parole one day.
I know. And I hope and pray that they, when they do get out, that they choose to make better decisions and better choices with their life moving forward.
Yeah.
And I hope that they live with the guilt of taking Egypt's life.
Yeah.
I hope it weighs heavy on their heart and their mind forever.
I know. And it's hard to say because, you know, we haven't really seen much from them or heard much from them.
Yeah.
But it just feels, it does feel like possibly Evans, the one who just drove the car there, is a little bit like feels the guilt more and is like more yeah. so like that. But also I'm just saying that from like the one brief statement he said in court. So maybe not.
I can see where you would think that, even just looking at his mugshot picture. I know this is just completely judgmental on all levels, but just looking at his mugshot, like he looks like in the eyes, he looks sad.
Yeah.
Whereas the other two guys, like they're like, we don't give a fuck.
Dead eyes.
Like,
yeah.
Dead eyes, like nothing, yeah. No remorse, no nothing. So
yeah, but who still
knows? We don't know them. We don't.
Yeah. And none of them came forward in the 3 years. Like, yes, they knew that they'd get charged with murder, but like they could have come forward, especially Evans, the one who didn't actually murder her, presumably, could have come forward and said something and gotten like way less. So
yeah.
I hope that they can get rehabilitated because they are going to get released. But I also hope that they have the most miserable time in prison and maybe end up having to stay in there because it doesn't feel like full justice.
Yeah, no.
But that is the story of the murder of Egypt Covington. She was just, seems like such an incredible person, and it's so heartbreaking that her life was taken way too soon.
Yeah.
But that's all I have for you guys today. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for being here. We'll see you next time with a brand new episode. And until then, keep it human.
Bye, guys.